Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Paranormal Horizons. Hello, everybody out there in the internet land. I am Jason Ophir, one of your hosts, here with none other than my co-host, Sherry Pang. Sherry, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Jason?
Not too bad. Just being extra lazy as usual. How's your week been?
Very good. Very good. Busy with readings and teaching yoga and... Yes, I'm just recuperating and ready for another new week.
You got to teach me how to do some yoga. I need some, like, relaxation, and I understand yoga is very centering.
It is, very much so, and it really is very beneficial, even for people who are physically compromised. It's really good.
Well, not only am I physically compromised, I'm also mentally compromised. But anyhow, so yeah, we got a killer show tonight, something that you and I both enjoy doing. We're going to have a call-in show, and hopefully we can get some people to call into the show and tell us about your paranormal experiences. If you want to call into the show, our number is 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999, and share some paranormal experiences or talk about anything paranormal. So we'll, depending on how many callers we have, we'll keep it short if we have a lot of callers, maybe 5 to 10 minutes apiece. And other than that, looking forward to having a great show this evening and hearing people's stories out there.
Absolutely.
I know I have a lot of paranormal stories. We could always do that, but it's always boring when I talk too much.
Yes, you do, Jason. You do talk too much.
Yeah, I know. Aww. My whole life is a paranormal story.
Is it really?
Pretty much. Well, I would say the first half of my life was a lot of paranormal.
Well, they say that life is an illusion.
And I kind of believe it is. What if it is? What if we're in the Matrix? What if we're in a video game like a Sims on some alien planet and we're not really here? It's kind of terrifying.
That could be. Oh, my goodness.
So while we're waiting for callers, I don't know, did you have anything you wanted to talk about? I did pick a... I kind of like doing these top 10s, so I got a paranormal top 10 that I could go through and talk about some things that have to do with UFOs. If you have something that you want to talk about first.
Well, I was very intrigued on one article I was reading this week about a funeral company. And I don't know if any of you follow our page, Paranormal Horizons, on Facebook, but I did blog it. there's a funeral company out in Arizona that, you know how people, when they're in the coffin, they're laying flat? Well, this particular company specializes in different poses. So they gave an example of a lady who lost her son. He was actually murdered and was shot. And instead of laying in a coffin, just like most people you see in a viewing, he was literally sitting upright. In a way, they did really a good job as far as makeup and hairdo, because you could see the before picture when he was alive and how he was dead. And he was posed as he would have been as he was alive. He had a hat that was a baseball cap that was, the reverse side. and he had a cigar in his hand, and his legs were crossed. And it was quite interesting how they make customized poses for their loved ones. So I do have to put it out there, a little bit morbid, but it was a little bit different than what most funeral homes have as far as having their loved ones and dear ones in the coffin laying flat with their hands crossed and, you know, just very sleeping, very serene and sleeping in a very, very quiet position. So anyway, just want to share that with you.
You know, I've seen that several times. It's rather eerie. It totally does not appeal to me. But you got me thinking, so when I die, if somebody does that to me, what is going to be the position I'm known for? And it'll probably be laying in bed watching Netflix.
And what position is that?
Yeah, that's how I'll be. Or the other option, of course, is to be sitting at a desk with a bunch of lab supplies, like a centrifuge and blood vials and stuff. One of those two.
Oh, that's crazy. Oh, well, it'd probably be either a Tai Chi pose or a yoga pose.
Well, I think back in the day, I don't know if the 1800s or whatever, sometime when looked like photography was in its infancy, they used to do that sort of thing, and it seems like it's coming back, you know, where they would pose their deceased children or whatever, like you're talking about, you know, 100 or plus years ago. So it's interesting.
It's very interesting. Okay, shoot, Jason.
All right. Well, my top 10 today, and I'm going to try and keep my eyeball on our phone line so we can take a caller. So is the top 10 UFO stories from the Vietnam War era. And so it's not necessarily having to do with Vietnam or the Vietnam War, although there are stories and sightings during the Vietnam War. But it's also some stories during that time period in the late 60s and early 70s. So there's number 10 is the HMAS Hobart. That's the title of this short little experience. Although the North Vietnamese had helicopters early in the war, they rarely used helicopters by the middle of the war. Thus, a lot of UFO sightings from the war revolve around bright floating objects because crews knew that they could not be North Vietnamese helicopters. In June 1968, Australian spotters saw 30 floating lights near the DMZ, that stands for Demilitarized Zone. Fearing another Tet Offensive style attack, NATO forces promptly scrambled F-4 fighters and patrol boats to intercept. The lights turned seaward and came under fire from various ships in the area. Unfortunately, a U.S. Navy Swift boat got hit by friendly missiles and sank, killing 5 of its crew members. Among the confusion, the Australia destroyer, HMAS Hobart, sat ready to engage the enemy. At 3:30 a.m., the commander called action stations when the radar room detected an airplane coming in fast with no IFF, and IFF stands for Identification Friend or Foe. It must be some sort of beacon. The plane opened fire on the HMAS Hobart, damaging the ship and killing crew members. Throughout the confusion, the F-4s tried to make contact with the floating lights, but there were only a few inconclusive engagements. Later that night, the pilots returned to their base. The next morning, no wreckage of enemy helicopters was found, even though there was a flurry of anti-aircraft fire trying to intercept the lights. Eventually, the incident was chalked up to atmospheric disturbances or possible helicopter activity. Isn't it always when something like that happens, it's always chalked up to atmospheric disturbances? I mean, there's no doubt that there are certain phenomena that are, you know, uncommon that could be interpreted as UFO sightings. But anytime anything happens, oh, it's atmospheric, it's a meteor, it's ball lightning, blah, blah, blah. So General George S. Brown, commander of the 7th U.S. Air Force, went on record after the war with his beliefs. Although the government had grouped all UFO sightings under the heading of enemy helicopter activity, Brown believed that the Hobart incident was a case of UFO interference in military operations. So, yeah.
Mm,
so, I, yeah, They thought it would have been unusual to see lights over Vietnam because they pretty much didn't really have any helicopters for very long. So, very interesting story. And I do see that we do have a caller. So, let's take that caller, and hopefully this caller has a paranormal experience they want to share.
Definitely. Okay.
Hello, caller. Hello? Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? Who are we talking to?
Jessica?
Hey, Jessica.
Hi.
Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
do you have...
Well, I do.
Oh,
I'm
oh,
sorry.
Cool.
You didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no. It's all good. Yeah, share us your experiences.
Well, I don't know if you remember the last time you guys did an open mic or open call-in. I called in and told you guys about what happened in Virginia when I was in the military, about the wicked haunting we had.
I do remember that. That sounded
okay.
Wicked, yes.
Yeah, it was awful. Anyway, I had another experience a few years later that I've always kind of felt in my gut that it was related. It actually happened to my daughter. She was 4, but I caught the last probably 10 or 15 seconds of it. But I, you know, she told me explicitly what happened, and I can say what I saw. So I was going to talk about that.
Yeah, let's hear it.
That'd be great.
Okay. So after I got out of the Navy, I moved to Ohio, and we were living in Columbus, the capital there. And I had this little townhouse type apartments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was probably 3 or 4, maybe, pretty young. And I had put her to bed around 8, and I went to bed. Now, she remembers it as she didn't sleep the entire time. Like, bedtime was 8 o'clock, and this incident happened to her around 3 in the morning, and that's what time I got woken up. And so for her, she had kind of like a missing time thing happen there. But anyway, I'm dead asleep, and it's, you know, right around 3:15, as usual, for me anyway. And I hear this blood-curdling scream from her bedroom. And I come running in her bedroom, and I fling the door open, and I saw this black, slithery, misty stuff hovering over my kid. And I slam it with as much white light energy as I could muster at that moment. Just slammed it with everything I had, and it hit it, and it saw me, it looked at me, and its, like, eyes got big. It had, like, red eyes, and it flew into her closet, and the closet door slammed shut. And my daughter slept with me until she was 12. You could not get that kid to sleep in her own bed.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was really wild. Now, how she remembers it, she says, like I mentioned, that she had some kind of lost time or something, because to her, this happened right after she went to bed, but it was, you know, actually 3 in the morning. But for her, she never fell asleep. And she said there was just a little bit of light coming through the window from her street lamp, you know, the street lamp outside. But her bedroom was very, very dark. And she saw her closet door kind of move and creak. She heard it creaking. And she saw these tendrils, like black, long black tendrils, hooking around the closet door and then sliding it open.
Oh,
and this dark mist is slithering on the floor towards her bed, towards the head of the bed. So she's like across from the closet door. If she was sitting up in bed, she'd be looking straight at the closet door. And she sees it coming towards her, and she's like paralyzed. She can't move, and she wants to cry out, but she can't. And she says that it comes slithering, and as it's slithering towards her, the mist becomes more solidified, and it comes up over the rail or of the bed, over the side of the bed edge, and it looks at her like it hovers over her. And she said it had like a hood almost, with like glowing reddish eyes, not like super bright red, but red smoldering eye thingies. She said she couldn't see them with her eyes, but she could feel that it was staring at her and see it in her mind, what it looked like. And as it hovered over her bed, she said she somehow found the strength to scream. And when she screamed, that's when I came in, and as she remembered, the door flying, the bedroom door flying open, a big ball of white light hitting the thing, and then we both saw it go into the closet. And she was terrified. She wouldn't sleep by herself ever until she was 12, and it was a struggle to get her to do that. It was horrible, and I have always thought that it was that thing in Virginia, whatever it was in Virginia, that we experienced. I had always had the feeling that it was coming to check on her to see if she was right for the picking or something. It was,
That sounds terrifying, but that almost sounds like alien abduction or something. I mean, if there was like really missing time and the fact that she was paralyzed and couldn't scream. But then again, the time is interesting as well, because they say at 3 a.m. is when there's a lot of demon activity, because it signifies the mocking of the Trinity. But I don't know.
Right.
I've never heard. I'm very familiar with alien abduction. I've had some pretty interesting experiences myself along that line. I've never heard a description of abduction like that. But you never know. There could be some sort of interdimensional beings or...
Right.
Who knows?
And how she described it... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You know what sounds like to me, and without seeing, but my feeling is... it's like it's like a demon origin, some black entity that is not of this world. It's almost like I feel like it's, as a psychic medium, it feels like it's like a demon of some sort that is trying to take her soul. That's my first impression, but I could be wrong. What's your feeling on that, Jessica?
Well, I tend to agree, because the, thing in Virginia had the similar feeling. You know, I've always kind of thought that it was definitely not a ghost, for that matter, but more of an actual interplanar demonic or evil entity type thing. And the way she described it, she felt like her soul was at stake. She was terrified beyond anything, you know, on the physical plane. So I don't know. It could have been. You know, and it could have been. I don't have that much experience with the alien stuff. I've only seen a UFO once, and I had a extraterrestrial experience in Canada, and that's it. I've had a lot of ghost experience and stuff like that happen to me, but never alien. So I don't know. I never even thought of that, actually.
So did this thing follow you on the way? You know, after you left the place or rented another place, did it actually follow you guys or what?
I don't think it followed us as such, but I do think that it was checking. Like, you know, something had a list and was like, oh yeah, remember that thing, remember we wanted that little ball of white light, you know, 4 years ago? Why don't you go see if it's unguarded, you know? I don't know. It was, oh my gosh, I don't know, because what happened in Virginia was so horrible. It very well could have been sniffing around again.
Now, from what I remember from your Virginia story, at some point there was a being or some sort of creature looking through a skylight that had red eyes. Was that true?
Yes.
Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, you are. And I later thought that it was a Jersey Devil type thing, because I'd seen descriptions and stuff of the Jersey Devil on a documentary, and I was like, oh, gosh, that's very similar to what I thought was on the roof in Virginia. And I didn't really see the eyes of this particular entity 4 years later as in detail as my daughter. So it could have been the same thing. I don't know, because she was a newborn at the time in Virginia. So she wouldn't remember it either. And I didn't see it up close and personal when this thing happened 4 years later in Ohio. So I don't know. That's a good question.
Now, what's going on with you now? Has there been any paranormal activity?
Oh, well, yeah. I've had quite a bit of paranormal things happen throughout my entire life. I haven't had anything like that ever happen again, though, no. I take pretty significant measures to protect myself and my family with, you know, I smudge, sage, and do blessings on my home frequently, pour salt around the perimeters, and, you know, I do a lot of stuff like that to keep the icky out because I've had a few bad experiences. So I usually have my wards up all the time. But I did some ghost hunting in Ohio and had some interesting results, but nothing like this stuff in Virginia or the first incident in Ohio, no.
Why do you think that these entities are attracted to you and your daughter? Was there any kind of activities that you were involved with, like a cult? Because from what I remember, you weren't doing anything in the occult. It was just that haunted place you were staying, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I wonder why they're just taking a liking to you and following you around.
I don't know. My best guess would be because I'm spiritually sensitive and clairvoyant, and I can see them. So that could be part of it. I have a pretty strong, bright aura, and they may be attracted to that. My daughter is especially strong in that way. It could be that they're attracted to that, you know, white light essence, maybe. But I personally haven't ever, you know, played around with anything that would conjure something, you know. I've never done that personally. So, no. For that reason, I don't want them following me around, you know.
That's understandable. And this is the exact reason I try not to be psychic. I think I have some abilities, but I definitely shut them off because, you know, I don't need that kind of drama in my life, having some entities show up and freaking me out. I got enough stress.
You have to really know how to protect yourself, and it took me a while to learn everything I needed to learn to not have that problem. Although I still have had, I've seen entities often, and we had a weird extraterrestrial thing happen in Canada, and stuff still happens, but it's nothing like it was in those two particular incidences, no.
Well, we don't have any other callers. If you wouldn't mind sharing what your incident in Canada was. UFOs, kind of my specialty, my niche.
Oh, good, yeah. I don't have a whole lot of that experience. I blame it on my husband. He's Canadian. And I remember telling a friend this incident that happened. We were both telling him. I was like, yeah, I didn't have any problem with these little green things until he came along. But anyway, so my husband's Canadian Indian. He's Cree from Alberta. And so we moved up there over the summer of 2012 to live on the reservation with him. And, well, there was a lot of really sad and kind of dark energy there, you know, generational pain, I guess, that has just been built up over time. So the vibe was kind of off anyway. But this one particular night, it was probably 2 or 3 in the morning again. That's common for me. I wake up around 3:15 almost every night. But in this case, it was probably 2 or 3 in the morning. I think my daughter had just signed off and gone to bed. She was playing Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. And I think she had just gone to bed, and we were having what I thought at first was a thunderstorm. And it was really, I mean, you could just feel the energy. It was just so intense, and these huge, bright green flashes of lightning everywhere. But then I got this really creepy feeling, and I was like, wait a minute, there's no thunder. None. It is deathly quiet in our house. On our property, I mean, quiet, no crickets, no nothing. And at this point, my daughter had woke up or had just gone to bed, so she was kind of still awake-ish. And she's like, Mom, and she's calling me from her bedroom, which was across the hall. And I go in there, and we start getting kind of freaked out because the lightning is so intense, but there's no thunder. And by this time, we had woken my husband up, and he's like asking, well, what's going on? What's going on? I thought you liked thunderstorms. And I said, oh, I do. I love them. But this isn't a thunderstorm. Get up. And so he gets up, and we start to go down the hallway. It's a really long hallway to get into the living room. And I look into the living room from the hallway, and a huge flash of lightning comes, and I see these two alien beings in the frickin' living room. And I I mean, I about crap my pants. I was like, oh my God, no. No effing way, no. No, no, I can't, no. And so I was frightened, and so I didn't really know what else to do, so I hit it with my energy. And it just kind of looked at me like, please, you know? It's not doing anything because it's not a ghost, you know? I'm doing ghost defense, and it's not working. And my daughter saw them, and my husband saw them, and I went into the living room as they kind of, like, faded out, and I went running in the living room like, where is it? Where is it? And every time the lightning flashed, I was terrified to look out the giant picture window because I just knew those things were, they were right there. And my husband's an artist. So about 6 months later, he drew what we saw that night. And we asked a spiritually sensitive friend of ours to check it out. You know, what do you think that is? And he said, oh, that looks like a gray to me. And I was like, what? You know, wait, what? Because all that time, I kind of didn't think it was an alien. I kind of just thought it was some really heavy-duty spirits that just weren't affected by my technique, for example. But I had confirmation through our friend that, no, that really does look like a gray to me. And, wow, I was just like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And it, like, all clicked, and I got really sick to my stomach. Like,
how many
whoa.
Were there?
Probably two in the living room and three or four outside.
So they physically manifest before your eyes.
Yes, they were there. And they were emanating this weird greenish hue. Like you could see them through an interdimensional plane. So they weren't gray with the heads and the eyes that you see everywhere. That's not quite what they looked like to my eye. That's why I didn't put it together right away. They didn't look like little gray aliens. They looked like something else, but they actually were aliens. And
oh, wow.
How
yeah.
tall were they?
Oh, these ones were, they were actually probably 4 or 5 feet, maybe. They were not petite, and they weren't bulky. They had like a slim build, an elongated head, kind of almost squarish is what it looked like. And they were, like, kind of thinnish. I guess medium build wouldn't be right. At that height, they would have been thin, I would say. And they weren't real tall, but they weren't real, real short either. They were, you know, average, five feet maybe, 4 or 5 feet. And they had really long, I saw, like, really long arms and elongated fingerish things. And they both looked at me. And then they kind of just shimmered out of view, and that's when I ran in the living room, like, where'd it go? And there are, like, two or three more milling around in the yard. The whole time, this lightning was green. I have never seen green lightning in my life. And it's carrying on like no tomorrow. There's no wind, no sound, and no thunder. And it was one of the freakiest experiences I've ever had.
It'd be pretty unusual to like walk in before they abduct you. It'd be more likely that would be like a post-abduction encounter, like you had already been abducted. So what, did you notice any weird scars or anything unusual, any objects in your bedroom that were moved or your sheets were under you instead of on top of you or anything weird like that?
My husband has had marks on his body, and he has had them repeatedly in the past, and I didn't notice anything personally on me or my child, but I wasn't looking, Jason. I mean, I didn't know. I thought it was some kind of bizarre spiritual, you know, thing. It didn't click that it was an alien thing until a few months later when he drew it and we had some kind of expert advice, so to speak. Because I didn't know anything about aliens, really. I mean, I believe that they're there, but I'd never encountered one that I knew of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. If I did, I didn't notice it on my body or my daughter's body. I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary in the bedroom or my daughter's bedroom, but I wasn't looking for evidence either. But my husband definitely had marks on him, and he always has had this happen to him repeatedly. And the friend that we talked to a few months later said that they were there for him. And they just kind of got surprised that all of a sudden there were two other people there. they didn't know about or something. They've been checking on him for a long time, which really freaked us out.
Yeah,
so
that's what
I
was going to say. I was going to say that they don't usually normally go around abducting families. It's usually there's one person they're interested in. Yeah, like your friend said, it certainly sounds like he's, you know, what they're interested in.
That's
pretty interesting. I haven't heard of green lightning or an emanation of any kind of green hue around aliens. But, you know, who knows?
Really?
That's one of the scariest type of things that a person can encounter is alien abduction.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. I couldn't imagine. I don't have any memory, any type of weird dream illusion type stuff in my head about that other than what I saw. But I will say something about the green lightning. A couple years later, I was watching a documentary, and they were talking about this highway in Arizona or New Mexico. They call it Highway to Hell or something, and the truckers have all these legends about this highway that they have to travel. And one of the legends that they had several different people discussing was this bizarre green lightning storm that shows up, and then they have missing time, and then they wake up in their truck 60 miles down the road 6 hours later with no memory of how they got there.
Mm.
And that happened to a few of them. So, I don't know if this was the same type of thing or not, but that's the only other reference to green lightning stuff and, you know, aliens that I've ever heard of, you know. And my husband's been experiencing this stuff, you know, most of his life. And when that movie The Fire in the Sky came out, he went to see that, and he just broke down in tears and was sick to his stomach and wanted to throw up. And he still, to this day, cries when he watches that movie. It terrifies him. And I'm pretty sure it's because it's happened to him, you know.
Has he ever considered going under, like, hypnotic regression or anything like that?
I don't think so, because I don't really think he wants confirmation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it would be pretty traumatic for him to actually realize it. But he has had numerous, I know, I wish I could get him to call in, because he's got numerous, you know, numerous stories of his personal experiences of what he's seen or quote-unquote dreamt or whatever throughout the years from as a young child until adulthood with this type of stuff. And for me, that was the first time, was in 2012.
That's amazing.
So with aliens anyway.
Well, I've had experiences, so I can empathize with him. I know how terrifying it is. I've had experiences with evidence left behind that was tested in laboratories that was unexplained. I've got some really out there alien stories that seriously, it would be more than one show. I mean, dozens of experiences, and so I totally, and you know, Sherry, we got to just do a show on my UFO stuff one of these times.
I would definitely listen to that. I'm curious.
Yeah.
We had a sighting two years ago, I think, here at our house. We saw, well, a UFO. I can't tell you if it's alien or not, but it was not an identifiable object. And there was two sets of two that came in succession, and they were like reddish-orange glowing discs, and they were traveling relatively slow. There was two of them coming through the tree line, and then they kind of stopped and hovered in front of our house, but across, like there's a park across the street from us and down the gully a little. So they were kind of like way over there. And then poof, poof, those two took off. And I was like, whoa, what the hell? And I'm hollering and hollering for him to get in here, get out front, because I'm seeing this. And he finally comes out, and lo and behold, here comes two more doing the same thing. Only these two stuck around for like 5 minutes. And one went further away than the other one and then zipped off and disappeared, and the other one just kind of shimmered out. And that's the only time I've ever seen anything in the sky. And it was really intense, but I don't know. It could have been, it could have been a lot of things, you know, I don't know.
Wow.
You certainly have some amazing paranormal stories, terrifying stories. If I had experienced and seen what you had seen, I wouldn't sleep anymore. I'd probably have to take a fistful of pills just to get sleep.
Oh, you know my secret. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have oh my gosh, I could tell you a whole bunch more too. I have a whole bunch of them. A lot of stuff like that's been going on in my life, my entire life, except for the alien stuff. That was once in 2012, but yeah.
Well, next time we have a call-in show, you'll have to call in and give us some more of your paranormal experiences.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
But I want to thank you, Jessica, calling in the show and sharing that. Mm-hmm. And it's always
you.
A pleasure when you call in. Great stuff.
Thank
That's
you very
scary.
Much. Yeah, it was. You guys have a good night.
You
yeah,
too.
You too. Thank
you.
Thank
you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, anytime I hear UFO, my UFO radar goes off. Are you there, Sherry?
Yes, I'm here. I've never had seen a UFO, so it's quite interesting to hear that. And I do believe that they exist. I know they exist. I've just never had the experience to see that in real life. My husband has, but not myself, so...
They're out there. I'm telling you. There's a lot of nonsense out there with people faking all this crap on YouTube, and there's a lot of natural phenomena that get misidentified, and a lot of classified aircraft that get misidentified. But among all that mess out there, I do believe, based on my experiences, that there are beings that I can't necessarily say that they're from another planet, but there are beings out there that I believe are abducting people. So, yeah.
Very much so.
And we have another caller. So let's get to this caller.
Hello.
Hi.
You're live on Paranormal Horizons.
Oh, thank you.
Paranormal Horizons.
Oh, thank you. I forgot about the time difference.
That's okay. Where
I got
are you
a story
calling
that I
from?
Said. Oh, I'm calling from Hawaii.
Oh.
I wish I was in Hawaii right now.
I have a story to share. Actually, I'm going to share one of my first ghost stories. Little kid growing up over on the windward side of Kaneohe, we moved in. I was about 5 years old. And my grandfather had passed away about a year or maybe a few years around that time. And for the next several years growing up in that house, we would have things happen. Like, as for me, I was a sick child. I couldn't walk maybe 10 yards before I had to stop and catch my breath. I would wake up and I would talk about the big Hawaiian man who didn't like us. That would be in the house. My parents didn't really know what was going on. You know, brand new house, just built. Then there would be times I would go take beer out of the fridge.